It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than taking your virtual ball and going home. You can join our chat room, the Den Pen, go on davincomedy.com, click live broadcast. You can also watch us on the Davin's Den page on Facebook Live via Zoom. Audio is better on Davin Comedy, but you can still hear us just fine on Facebook, too, and that includes our lovely video images. I am your host, Davin Roseblatt. I am joined by the nestled snuggly Joe Curry. Hello, Joe.
Yes, hello.
And the lighter by a little bit, Pip Helix. Hello, Pip.
Hi, everybody.
On the show, the Commission on Presidential Debate says the second debate will be virtual, and Donald Trump is not interested in that. School of Fools, a student has a panic attack and won't wear a mask, which leads to an arrest, and a professor gets fired for repeatedly saying the N-word in class. What the heck is that? We don't need that. We had a song was playing all of a sudden. What a great beginning. Already tech issues. All right. Let's see. An outstanding display of spite against the Proud Boys. We'll do a little scam busters. I'll give to you guys the profile of a voodoo man looking for customers. You could be that next lucky customer and have all your problems solved. And we'll do some scamming scammers with Carolyn. I must start the show by wishing my wife a happy 18th wedding anniversary. Tonight is our wedding anniversary.
18 years?
18 years?
Wow.
18 years?
All right, stop it. Why do you say it like that? Like anybody could survive that long?
I'm saying it like that because that was that just felt like yesterday. 18 years, holy smokes.
Well, I mean, maybe not for her, Joe. It might not feel like yesterday for her.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, that's like 18 anniversary of the roast, yeah.
Yeah, man, you guys were at the day where it all happened. You guys were at the wedding, and here we are, the three of us together, on my 18th wedding anniversary. Isn't it nice that I could share it with the most important people on the 18th wedding anniversary? You guys, and of course, our audience.
I appreciate it.
Technically, mine was yesterday. I would have been married 24 years yesterday. And
wow.
Joanne shoots me a text, and she writes, happy anniversary, I guess. And I'm like, oh, today was the anniversary? I go, I always thought it was the 15th, but what difference does it make now? Yeah.
Did she send you some ramen noodles to commemorate?
No. God, don't remind me. But I do a joke. I've been doing a joke in my act. I go, yeah. I go, October's a very special month. I go, 24th wedding anniversary. And I go, and even more special than that is on the 30th, where I have my 1-year divorce papers arriving.
That is a happy anniversary. Happy anniversary, kids. Happy anniversary, Joe and Joanne. You know it's weird. My mom calls me up yesterday. She's like, "What are you guys going to do for your anniversary? What the hell can we do? What are the options? We live in New York. Everything's closed. You could go out to eat in New York and eat inside. But no, I don't want to get COVID-19 on my 18th wedding anniversary. That doesn't sound pleasant. I mean, usually we would go to games, go to concerts, go to movies, been to Italy. There's no place to go. You can't. I'm not going to Florida to lick everybody and die. I'll tell you that.
Oh, my God.
You know, I'd say you'd have to quarantine, but you do that anyway.
Yeah, I mean, there's no place to go. It's just kind of like surreal. So she made waffles for breakfast, which was nice. We had waffles before we
went. Nice.
That's what it is, kids. That's where we're at. 18 years in 2020. I mean, 18 is not a big deal anyway. In 2 years, 2022, we're going to be married 20 years. I hope we get to do something good, but who knows?
I didn't know that the 18th anniversary was waffle.
Yes.
You know, because golden comes up, you know, in a few years, but 18th waffle is kind of an odd choice.
Well, I mean, you know, you got to think back to when this stuff was invented. I mean, this is before there was waffle makers. So to make a good waffle, you know, it took a lot of love, a lot of sacrifice. You know, there was a woman, because a man wasn't making waffles back in the day, you know, waking up at the crack of 3 a.m., you know, getting together all the ingredients, cooking it, and then, like, cutting out the little squares so that you could put the fresh maple syrup that you got from your tree outside that she probably got the day before. And, you know, it's a lot of effort to cut out the little squares. Now we're lazy bastards. We put in the waffle maker. Hell, even the Motel 6 has a waffle iron that you could do it. But back when 18 became the waffle wedding anniversary, it was a lot more involved.
I have an even stranger fact for you. The traditional gift for the 18th anniversary is porcelain.
Porcelain?
Yes, Joe's alley.
Yeah, right?
Porcelain,
What the hell would you, what would you buy with porcelain? Like a vase?
You could.
I guess.
Buy her a new sink? I don't know.
Honey, a new toilet. We can crap like we're kings and queens.
Hey, new American standard, yeah. New, nice unit, double flush, double flush. Yeah, that's good.
And that's why you're divorced.
I go back, you know, it's funny, you bring up that unpleasant memory when I think it was an anniversary, whatever, I got Raymond noodles, a bag of Raymond noodles. And I'm like, what is this? You don't like gifts. I go, yeah, and the trend is continuing. What is this? But you like Raymond noodles. I go, I would have liked a card with fuck you. Because you would have had to take time to get the card, write "fuck you," and put it on the table. This and that would have taken more thought than buying me Raymond noodles. This ran you 235. That right then and there, that day, that was a nail in the coffin moment. Because I told her I don't want any gifts at all from you. It was just everything was declining. Everything was just being cut out of the equation. You know?
No, I feel she looked into your soul and realized that's what you appreciate. She knows you're a cheap bastard. She'd be upset you'd be upset with her if she spent a lot of money. You know, you like Asian food, but you're not that fond of Asians. So ramen's a nice meeting in the middle. I feel that was a good gift. She knows you have a hot temper, so boiling water is appropriate. I feel it was a fine gift.
I understand all of that. She could have broke the $5 barrier.
But again, you're very cheap. You're very cheap, and, you know, she didn't want to do that. You're working hard for your money. You know, if she buys the value pack of ramen noodles, you're like, what? We don't need a week's worth of ramen noodles. Why are you spending so much money? She couldn't win either way.
You know what? Yeah, I am cheap, but when it comes to gifts, I'm not. You know, so it's like...
Joe, only to women you're not married to. So...
That's funny. You know, I do think that the ramen noodle was the FU anniversary gift. Damn.
Yeah.
She
told you exactly what she thinks of you. So I got my wife, and I've gotten her this a bunch of times. There's a massage place across the street that she likes to go to. She's been saying she wants a massage, so I bought her an hour massage. And she renewed my SiriusXM subscription. So there's a lot of passion in this year's... gift-giving. But, I mean, like I said, well, what are we going to do? We have everything. We can't go anywhere. We can't do anything. If we want something, we just buy it. You know, she's on the waiting list for a Bowflex dumbbells. That's where we are. She's like, oh, what do you want? I really couldn't think of anything I want. Usually I want to go to a concert. There's a band. There's a book. I want to go outside and play. I want to live life normally.
The waiting list is okay. She's been with a dumbbell for 18 years.
She's been with a dumbbell for 23 years. We've been together 23 years because we were dating for 5 years. That's a long time to put up with my shit.
It is. Does she deserve a medal? Yes, I think so.
Well, I mean, Pip, you and I have probably known each other then like 22 years, and Joe, we've probably, the three of us have known each other probably 21 years, so.
80,
No, we did not meet 90. In the 80s, Joe. We did not meet 90, when I was in elementary 90, school.
We met in 98.
All right.
I was doing that improv group. I was doing the improv group in the city, and we all heard that there was an audition for improv players at an RJ Gators out in Jersey. So all of us from the island that was in that improv group went out there, and that's when I met you with Pip. And that was either 97 or 98.
Well, from the bottom of our heart, Pip and I, we would like you to check your mailbox because we sent you some ramen noodles to commemorate this anniversary.
Thank you. I'm almost out.
our anniversary, us.
Yeah. So Pip, you had yourself a little procedure this week.
Oh yes, I did. I got my gallbladder to go.
What the hell does gallbladder even do?
It produces bile.
Oh, you're full of that. Joe, you probably should have yours removed.
I used to be full of bile. It's all gone.
Aww.
Flowers and unicorns.
Aw, sweet, lovable, adorable Pip. Aw.
Yeah, it was not as easy as they say it is sometimes. They say, you know, it's laparoscopic. So I can't remember who said this to me, but I want to try to remember so I can go and slap them hard. Because they said, oh, some people go to work the next day. Fuck you.
Well, Pip, I mean, in their defense, you're not going to work the next month, the next year. So, I mean, it's not their fault. It has nothing to do with...
This is true, but for a completely different reason. Holy crap. I got beat up, man.
Yeah, but you don't really bounce back quickly. You're not one of these quick healers.
No, I actually have done pretty well after surgeries. This was just, they give you a pain block in the area, and so you feel like, oh, this isn't terrible. And then that mother wears off in a couple days, and you are like, kill me!
Don't they give you painkillers for at home?
Well, she told me to take Tylenol extra strength, and that I could call and get other painkillers if I really wanted them, but I was trying to tough it out, and Tom Frey... Bite me, buddy. He just said, Pip had procedure? What are the odds?
Well, you know, you know what, Tom? In her defense, it wasn't on her ass. So it's a little bit of a different story, all right?
that operation game was, you remember Operation when we were kids? That was based on Pip.
It was.
With Pip, it's only two body parts. The ass, which is like five moves, and one in the heart, which is just a clock. I mean, that's what it is with Pip.
Well, the surgeon was there. Ha, ha, ha.
Why do you have that ready to go? Why do you have... What are you, Gallagher?
I'm over 40, and I'm a female. I have tweezers ready to go at all times.
Oh, is that for when you jerk off Mr. Helix?
No. No.
I got a question. I hear when you lose your gallbladder, you fart like a circus elephant.
You know what? I haven't found that to be true yet, but I'll let you know because.
Keep us posted.
I will.
Joe, keep your ear to the ground. You'll hear a low rumble will be coming from the east.
A low rumble,
or from your west. A low rumble will be coming from your west.
Well, I thank you. Deb says any surgery is like getting hit by a Mack truck. Yeah, and apparently with this one, if you're not supposed to eat certain foods right afterwards, or you're really going to have what Joe anticipated, the roll of thunder.
Lots of broccoli.
Oh, God. Oh, no. I was... things were not regular, we'll say. So I was really miserable for a few days.
You know, and it always winds up, whatever the situation is, you always wind up spending quality time on your porcelain throne. Whatever the issue is. A cat gets sick, Pip has the run.
It was because of your anniversary.
The shits.
Got to get yourself some good bowl reading.
I was anticipating the porcelain anniversary, so I was doing that in tribute to you.
I got a question. You bring up bowl reading. Do you think that's something from like our generation? I mean, I don't know. Are kids still bowl reading? Or is it, I guess maybe they're on their phone. They're making TikToks while they drop. I don't know.
They bring their phone. They bring the phone in.
Yeah, well, that's a nasty phone. Don't touch other people's phones.
No, I'm sure.
Right, but they're probably on the phone.
Yeah, I guess the magazine rack in the toilet is no longer a thing.
Not for younger people, I don't think so. It's all about the phone. But I'm old. I have reading. I have catalogs coming in.
Here's the problem with reading on the throne. Invariably, your foot falls asleep. So now,
now you got a
dirty ass. You're done. You can't stand up. You're shaking. You're walking like you're crippled. You got toilet paper coming out of your ass. There's nothing good going on. It stinks in there. You hit the fan. Everybody knows you've been in there for 20 minutes, thinking that what the hell will happen? Were you having an abortion in there? What the hell were you doing? It's a whole production now.
Well, the thing about it is sometimes you have to run and make a run to the bathroom and you're trying to grab the magazine because you've had that article planned where they're dropping a small block Chevy engine into the Studebaker. And you want to see how they do it because the motor mouth can't match up. But, you know, but now you're going to find out. You know, you go, yeah, I want to read that article. Like, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I got to make it. I got to see how they do it, you know.
I got to make it.
You know what? This is why People Magazine is the perfect bowl magazine, because there are the pages where you can just flip through and saw who wore it best, and then there's the profiles that could go on for a couple pages, so you can pick and choose. I like that.
Yeah.
So you're feeling better, Pip?
Yeah, you know what? Yesterday was really rough. Today, we had to go out and run an errand, and Mr. Helix played Jeeves for me, and we went and took care of something, and avoided hitting the big bumps, but there were still a couple of moments. You're clutching, like, this was laparoscopic, but there's still five different holes in me. One's bigger than the other four, but I'm like, Jesus!
Well, you have an anniversary coming up, so Mr. Helix can play Plug the Holes. That's exciting.
He's got four to choose from now, and Steri-Strips are going to make it really exciting.
Happy anniversary, honey. I got an extra hole for you this year.
Exactly. It's not... I am just... Like, they say that scars, you know, are beautiful. They tell your story. Oh, my God, I got a fucking novel going on.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I'm a hot mess. I really am.
Yeah, but I mean, on the good news, you're running out of things to take out, so that's exciting. What, you got, like, a kidney to go?
No, I actually asked my friend, what else can I have taken out? And because she's in the medical field, she provided me with a list. It made me feel much better.
All right. Well, we look forward. We look forward to you losing more stuff.
You know, I had a bone to pick with the anesthesiologist because I was lying there, and you know, they strap one arm down with the IV, and then they were doing God knows what with the other hand, and my mask is riding up and everything. But the anesthesiologist who was getting my IV ready, apparently he had some kind of problem. He was unhappy with the way that it was done in the pre-surgical room by the nurses. And he was talking shit about the nurses in that department right over me while I'm clearly still awake because he's the one who knocks me out. And he called them stupid. Right in front of me.
Hey, well, you know, listen, they'll be taking care of you. Good for you. That's what happens when you have that unemployed insurance. When you have the good insurance, you get the nurses that aren't stupid. You get the nursing school dropouts. That's what you get.
I'll never forget the only time I was in the hospital, really in a hospital, knock on wood, was when I was 6 years old, and I had a lazy eye, and they had to fix the lazy eye.
It's good that the rest of you caught up.
That's a gift to you. That's my anniversary gift to you.
Oh, Joe, I like it better than ramen. Thanks, pal.
And I'm 6 years old, and the patch is on my eye, and the doctor was trying to get off the patch off my eye, and I'm like freaking out. And the doctor got pissed off and yelled
at you.
I had to apologize. you know, and the nurse goes, I'm sorry, the doctor had a rough morning. And my mother goes, yeah, we're sorry, too. His father killed himself 2 weeks ago. You know, so it's like.
Wow.
Well,
you know what I'm thinking, Joe? I'm thinking that that story has to be on in our pilot. That's because your mother's answer is fucking priceless.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny to see like a doctor struggling with a little pirate's eye patch, a little 6-year-old Joe struggling trying to get the thing off like you're a goddamn Looney Tune. But then to hear him bitch and your mom slap him down. Write that down a little note. We got to work that in the story somehow.
Yeah.
That's the type of dark dysfunction I'm looking for.
What I'm looking for.
No, that's very good. That's very good. That will be in flush somewhere. I'm talking to Chip this week, so maybe we'll get that moving again. But write that down. That we got to work that in. I don't know what that has to do with our story, but I just like it a lot.
Oh, well, we're talking. I think Cammy's listening. Cammy, I forgot about the weight of the world. We got to get back to work on that.
Well, Joe, in everybody's defense, it's not like we have any free time. It's just so busy.
I've been wrapped up in doing these workshops, and I'm on the way to one of the workshops. I'm almost doing them almost every night. I'm on the way to the workshop last week, and I'm like, what are you doing? The weight of the world is that we got the latest one that we did on YouTube, and we're trying to get that going. And Tammy and I haven't been able to get together, and I'm like, what am I doing? I should be working on this, but you get so paranoid with your acts that you just want, because I got Mohegan Sun coming up, and I got Uncle Vinny's after that, that I'm like just trying to get as much stage time as I can. And then, you know, damn, it's almost like I always say, something's not getting done, so something could get done. And it's dawning on me, I'm like, my God, I got to get back to work here on this.
My first time I'll be doing more than 10-15 minutes since March, since this all happened, will be this Friday, doing 30 minutes. It's outside. I think it's supposed to rain, but the gig is rain or shine, so that's going to be good. And I gotta try to remember 30 minutes. Like the Trump-Hillary shit that I've been trotting out there and adding stuff, it just doesn't feel prescient anymore. And then
exactly.
And then Trump had the audacity to get the COVID-19, so there goes one of my best COVID-19 jokes about, like, COVID being afraid of Trump. I gotta look over my act this week, see what the hell I'm going to talk about.
Let me tell you something, man. It's, I don't know about you, but for me, like I said, I had to close. I was down at Uncle Vinny's 2 weeks ago. I'm on closing. You know, I had to do like about 40. And I was having a panic attack before, and it's the first time it happened in years, because I'm like, I hope this is relevant. I hope people get it, blah, blah, blah. And once you get up and running and stuff like that, it's like, all right, the world's not going to end. You know, you just like just do your act and figure it out. But it's like at the workshops, so much has changed, even in the past month, where you're doing stuff at the workshop, and it's not even relevant anymore, you know? So it's interesting the way it is.
Even my police stuff, like, I'm more concerned about it now. Because the police have been, you know, under the gun from time to time. It's happened. This isn't the first time in the past 5 years, you know, and I've kind of joked with that before. But now it's even more stuff, because I love the police, except for the douchebags waiting on the side of the road to pull me over. Love the ones that protect us. Now that's a controversial fucking statement. I gotta rethink everything, because the police bit is not a controversial bit. I got enough controversial shit in my act. The police bit is when I try to pull us all together and get the fuck out of Dodge. So I gotta really look over shit.
Gavin, it's till you get up there and you do the set, it's nerve wracking. Like I said, I've been at this for 23 years. I was having a panic attack, you know, a little bit like, holy cow, I hope I can pull this off. And you know, we've done our acts everywhere all the time, but so much shit has changed. You're like, holy moly.
Yeah, I don't know what it's going to be like, man. I mean, the last time I was performing, I think I had COVID, to be honest with you. But, I mean, I was sick, but I was doing, you know, 45 minutes a night. And now when I do these Zoom shows, I'm doing 10 minutes, 8 minutes, 15 minutes, and I got notes.
Yeah.
I got little notes on the floor that nobody could see. I can't bring notes anymore unless I'm going to throw them in the bonfire that they're going to have going. It's who the fuck knows what this is going to be? But I got to get it out of the way.
That's the good thing about the workshops, because it's all comics, and we're all working on new stuff or just trying to get, you know, our old stuff greenlight. Everybody's up there with a notepad. Everybody stops and looks at the notepad, you know, which is good. I went up on Sunday night. I went up, and it's nice because you could see where I was looking. You know, it's more streamlined now. Where everybody gets 6 minutes, where I'm not stopping and pausing, but I'm just going up and I'm going through the six because I got everything down there from doing it so much. But I'm getting obsessed with it. You know, you get so scared. It's like, well, Steve is doing these. I got to do, you know, as many as I can because I want to be ready. I got to, you know, and it's like I said, I'm driving last week. And I'm like, I got to call Cammy. We're supposed to do the a little intro party for the YouTube page, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, I totally forgot about that. So yeah. You know, even though there's nothing going on, there's a lot going on.
Well, you know, so you say there's nothing going on. I'm seeing more and more pictures of comedy shows, indoor shows. Nobody packed, nobody social distanced, nobody wearing masks. And I'm just thinking, like, you know, I work at some of these places out of state and everything because New York shut down. And I'm just thinking, I don't want to walk into that environment right now. Like, I don't understand that. I understand, you know, different states have different regulations and we've had those conversations and all. But just like, you know, pretending nothing's going on, like it's January of 2020, that kind of blows my mind.
Yeah, that's really strange.
I think they're doing quarter capacity.
No, but that's in Jersey, Joe. In New York, we're shut down. But other places in other states, I'm saying. Actually, I've seen some stuff from Jersey that looks pretty packed too. But in other states, they're just like packed in. Now, listen, I understand, you know, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, we got hit with it first, yada, yada. I get all that. But I'm just, like, looking at this shit, it's like nothing happened. It's like, and there's a part of me go, wow, I can't wait to do comedy, I want to do that again. But then there's part of me go, I can't do that. I'm not there. I won't even eat inside in a restaurant right now.
I don't even think you need to worry about that, because let me tell you something, by the time everything starts gets up and running again, I mean, I don't know where you are on rotations and stuff like that. I mean, I had a whole bunch of stuff canceled. I mean, I'm working at Uncle Vinny's, which is great, thanks to Dino, you know. But, you know, the other clubs, if I'm back in this by the spring, you know, I mean,
I don't know. Yeah. I had, you know, 2 weeks on the West Coast that canceled. You know, I'd be getting ready to go to the Bahamas within the next month or two. I don't even have a date for next year. That the Atlantis is shut down. The local stuff, I got nothing going. I'm, you know, and everybody's gonna be calling at once everything opens up. This is pretty much the end. This is the end.
But even the Santa Claus stuff. Now, obviously, with the Santa Claus stuff, I was kind of on the fence with this stuff. I've got two things tentatively booked for Christmas Eve. But the other stuff, like I'll do a library I've been doing in Jersey for just about 10 years. Obviously, they're not doing that. Oh, and that they usually book early on that because they have to lock in a date with the town, the city.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get, you know, the phone hasn't rang there. I usually have maybe about four or five things booked. There's nothing there. I'm not going to call the agent for that.
I haven't heard from her.
I feel horrible for her.
Usually she checks in with me a couple times a year. You know, hey, can you do this roast? Can you do this? I haven't heard from her. I'm not calling her. There's nothing. I like in Jersey. Like some of our friends are working somewhat. Like there's, I'm like, my phone's not ringing, but some people are doing like outside shows. I don't think anybody's making much money. You know, I think people are working.
No.
They're
no,
cheap.
Because it's small, you know, it's small thing. what can you say? You know, there's not that many people there. You can't complain. The money's not good because the crowd's not good.
I heard the owner of the Yankees, and we'll get into this, I guess, a little bit, on the radio today. The Yankees got bounced, and you know, of course, they didn't have any attendance this year in New York. He said they lost about 40% of revenue. No, it's the New York Yankees, so I'm sure they have a lot of money saved up. But that's they lost 40% of their revenue because nobody's in the ballpark. Nobody's going out. I was just saying to my wife today, I don't know if we're going to go to that Motley Crue concert that we have tickets for. It's like, you didn't get a refund? It's like, they rescheduled it. So we all said, yeah, well, hold on.
Well, it's in July.
I don't know, Joe. I don't really feel comfortable. I don't really feel confident. I was listening to one of the experts, one of the leading experts on vaccines and everything, and he expects there to be a vaccine, you know, in the spring next year. But he said like November, December, January. He's like, it's going to be the worst we've seen. Just hunker down. So if that's the case, and then you have to shut things down again, what's going to be left by the time things open up? And that goes to what we always talk about. You know, you got to open up because, you know, people need to make money. But if everybody's sick, nobody's going out anyway. There's in Penn Station, I guess there's a famous Oyster Bar restaurant, I guess.
Yeah, that got closed down.
Yeah, like it opened up like 2 weeks ago, and then they just closed down because they're like, nobody's coming. Because nobody...
Well, not only that, they're running a quarter capacity, and they're like, we can't make money. It's pointless to be, you know, open a quarter capacity.
And you know what's interesting up here is Kiryas Joel, which is a lot of Hasidic Jews, their schools are shut down now for 2 weeks because they've been having... So what happened is, this is a rumor. So I guess like some of them came to our park in our town because all their parks are shut down in their town. And people got upset because they weren't wearing masks. Again, this is all rumor. And then the police were called. Now our park is shut down, which is like bullshit. It's like just have a police officer patrolling by there. And if they're not wearing a mask, issue a ticket or give a warning. Why does it have to be shut down to the people, you know, in our town? We're doing the right thing. But you're going to see more of this stuff. So
why does there have to be a riot on the playground before they come by?
Listen, man, it's just gonna get bad. I spoke about the Yankees, and this is a reality of it too. I mean, you know, I joked about when the debates were on, like, oh, you guys are like, I'm gonna watch the debate. I'm like, fuck that. The Yankees have a playoff game. I got plenty of debates ahead of me. I don't know how long the Yankees are gonna be involved, and the Yankees are no longer involved. And it is. Here's the thing, I'm always down here in the den. You know, pardon me. I'm doing stuff, and I always have the TV on in the background. And when there was no sports, it was the news. And the news is always depressing. You know, it's now it's election fraud, election suppression. You throw in the Supreme Court, you got Donald Trump's antics, you got Joe Biden's antics. It's always depressing shit. It's never, hey, things are looking up. That's never going on in the news. So when I had sports as a backdrop, it was nice. I could have the ball game on. And, you know, I had that, you know, and the Yankees were decent. I mean, there were times when they were terrible, too, this year. But our football teams are god-awful. At least the Giants.
Oh, my God.
At least your team is competitive. My team gets beaten before they arrive at the stadium. My team has already lost. I mean, so for all intents and purposes, there's no professional football in our area. We're not getting hockey or basketball till January or February, if we're lucky. I bet we're not going to get it in January and February, because I think we're going to be in the throes of something, unless they're going to bubble it again, you know, do it in bubbles and everything. So I was just like, ah, fuck, I got to watch. I guess it's just the news. I mean, when my wife got me the Series XM, she just, I guess, upgraded, so now I have the app so I can listen to that, the music or Howard Stern or whatever on the phone. But it's just like, ugh, no sports. Now, I realize there's other people who are listening who have professional franchises to pay attention to in football. But in New York, it is very dire. There is nothing going on. It is not Halloween yet, and football season is over in New York. It is over.
Oh, yeah.
And the Yankees getting bounced. It's like, God, I was just hoping they could make it to the end of October. Just give me something so I didn't have to pay attention to the stupid politics. Just something to take my mind away from the god-awful, depressing politics and all the antics that are going on. And there was something to take my mind off the politics, even though it was involved in the politics. Thank goodness, boys and girls, we had a shit-eating, lower-than-life reality star called The Fly, who intervened in that god-awful debate between the vice presidential candidates. Thank God that fly showed up. That's... Yes. is that the fly, Pip? Is that what that is?
I don't know what you're talking about.
It looks like you got a cock on your head. Doesn't it look like a cock on one testicle? I can't even see. What is that? Oh, a fly! Look at Pip doing arts and crafts. Here's how turned off Americans are to our politics. We're enthralled by a fly. Things that we swat. Things that we go, ugh, don't cover up your food. The fly was just eating dog shit. Now it's on the potato salad. But if a fly lands on the vice president's head, like, oh my God, that fly is amazing. That's the best fly ever. I'd vote for the fly. I don't like any of the four candidates. I'd vote for the fly. What about Kanye? No, I'd vote for the fly. Well, what, where's the fly stand on abortion? I don't care. It's only going to live 24 hours. I'm going to vote for the fly. That's where America is with our politics. We'd rather vote for an insect that spends the best times of its life on dog shit. That's where we are in this country with our politics. And that's all we have left, because that's all. You can either talk about the political machinations of the morons running for office, or you could talk about COVID-19 and the people who believe it and don't believe it. That's what we have now. That's what we, but you know, at the end of the news broadcast, they spice it up and go, oh, people who died from COVID-19. And then they tell you, like, these people who live these lives, you know, they're helping children, helping their community, they're teachers, they were veterans, police, whatever they are, and they're dead. What a way to brighten up. Fuck you, New York Yankees, for getting bounced in the second round and making me have to go back to that goddamn awful reality. Ugh.
Well, I don't know if you heard the backstory. The fly's got management now.
I hope to be open for the fly soon. Fly's like, listen, man, can you do no shit jokes? That's kind of my thing. I do a lot of shit jokes. You not do shit jokes? Sure, Mr. Fly, whatever you want. I'm glad we had this conversation. I'm just going to buzz off. No offense, Mr. Fly. No offense. What's that? Your gay cousin? He's a fruit fly? I get it, Mr. Fly. No fruit fly jokes either. I'm going to go over here. Would you like some honey or nectar? I hear you catch more flies that way. No, you're my favorite fly. No more flies.
Oh, great. I can just see you hanging out, like, and the fly lands near Denise between shows, and you're like, oh, great, now I gotta hear it. the fly doesn't really work here, but he was upset. And he wants to do shit jokes, and he's the guy.
I get it. The manager pulls me over in between shows. Listen, I was talking to the fly. And the fly would prefer that you don't sell merchandise, because the fly is selling some. I'm stuck on you with the fly strips, and he doesn't want you selling your DVDs and T-shirts. So can you not sell? That's the conversation. That when comedy comes back, that's where my career is. I'm taking orders from a goddamn shit-eating fly, and I'll be happy to do it.
Yeah, because the fly's got YouTube kids.
Let me talk about the fly. The fly trends. I never trend. The fly was amazing. Fly's just hanging out there. I'll tell you what, the fly was very composed, just hanging out on that sea of white head by Mike Pence. Oh, look at that. How do you not feel a fly fucking making a home in your goddamn head for 2 minutes? How do you not do this? How do you not wave it? How do you not smack yourself in the head? How do you not notice? We're all looking at you, you dumb son of a bitch.
Jeff Goldblum is having a moment.
God damn it. We could not get a fly fucking memes out there. People are like, oh, yes, this is the comedy gold we were looking for. Oh, a fly. Can you imagine if a yellow jacket wandered in? Holy shit.
It would have been going on forever and ever until the stinging began.
Oh, my God. So I watched part of that debate. I know Joe saw the end of it last half an hour. Do you see any of it, Pip?
I didn't, actually. Yeah.
Can we just stop with these fucking debates? Because they don't answer any questions. They don't answer any fucking questions. You got Mike Pence constantly interrupting, which I know chicks hate. Nobody can stick to their time. There's no enforcement of the rules. Can we just stop with this shit already? Because whatever
it's
they tell
us. Open mic.
What?
It's a bad open mic.
Yes, but they're getting TV credits, Joe. When we did bad open mics, we didn't get TV credits.
No, we just got to wait online to be number 36.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, oh,
it's not like a bad dinner party.
Kamala doesn't want to answer this question. Pence doesn't want to answer this question. And when Mike Pence, you ask him a question, he's answering a completely different fucking question. You can ask him shit, but that's not what he wants to talk about. Seriously, there needs to be punishment. There needs to be like electric shocks, dump them in water, reveal an embarrassing fact about these motherfuckers. There has to be something.
Reveal an embarrassing fact. Well, Mr. Pence, Mr. Vice President, you didn't talk about pre-existing conditions, but we do have this photo of you jerking off in Peoria.
Yes! Yes, Joe! That's what I'm... And everybody would tune in! And you know what? Pretty soon they would start answering questions.
Yeah, right. Well, Ms. Harris, I don't know why you're smirking. Here's a photo of you blowing somebody like a circus balloon. Yes, new debate rule.
That's what we need.
New debate rule.
Electric shock, Oh, ice bucket. You know, another one. Another one. So embarrassing facts. And then another one will be, if they don't answer questions or they go over time, they have to do, like, infamous internet challenges. So you'll have the cinnamon challenge, the Tide Pod challenge, the ice bucket challenge. So they could actually fucking die if they don't abide by the rules.
No, I think it would be the play in traffic rule. I would like to see that.
Now, here's the deal. They were talking about, you know, I've heard banter around. He's ended up having Joe Rogan do one of the debates. Have Joe Rogan and have those rules. We have to eat something totally fucking different.
Fear factor debate. I'm sorry, Ms. Harris. You went over your time. You're gonna have to eat this ox's anus.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Vice President Pence. You did not answer the question. You're going to have to stand on this Trans Am doing 90 miles per hour going over speed bumps with a very thin harness. Good luck!
And they got the Trans Am's got the vice presidential seal on either side because they have to be assholes about it.
And, you know, and then again, it gets to the point. It gets to the point where, like, after five of this, if it's the Joe Rogan one, all right, you guys aren't listening. You got to do like 3 minutes in the octagon with one of the fucking champions. Make Pence or Harris or Trump or Biden fucking tap out like the fucking. I'm so tough. Are you screaming like a bitch, Mr. President? Are you? Answer the fucking goddamn question. My hair. That's what we need. There needs to be consequences for this shit. Because otherwise, right now, there's no reason to tune in unless an insect is going to land on somebody's head. And really, how many insects can we have doing this shit? There needs to be because they don't play by the rules. They don't. They answer their own shit. They go over time. They interrupt. I mean, some are more egregious than others. But what's the point? I watched this thing, and then we're so conditioned. We're so conditioned now since 2015 because of President Trump that if somebody doesn't act like a buffoon up there, we're like, oh, this is boring.
Hey, can I make a deal with you? A gentleman's deal?
Sure.
There is there are things called scared bits, like with Anthony Schumer. There's some bits that he does that we both did together, and he'll do some on the show, and I'll do some on stage. We have to do a shared bit. This thing we should do is a joke. You take that to your show on Saturday. I'm taking it to the workshop the next couple of nights, and we should share that bit. That's a great bit.
Yeah, that's fine.
community show bit, you know?
But I'm watching this thing. I'm watching this debate. And Mike Pence just keeps on fucking interrupting her, and Kamala's going, "I'm talking, Mr. President. I'm talking." Which is the woman's way of saying, "Bitch, please." We were 5 minutes away from Kamala getting up there and slapping the shit out of Mike Pence. You know, I was texting with Joe, and he's like, "Well, you know, I don't think she's like him." I'm like, "Joe, she's pissed off." It's like,
will you just fucking shut up for a minute and let me finish a sentence?
Joe, it's like if we're doing the gig and there's a yappy broad or dumb motherfucker in the front row that keeps on stepping on your punchlines and interrupting, you can only smile so long. After 20 minutes, you're just like, shut the fuck up. And they can't say that. But it's the same.
Right.
Like, what are you doing? Why can't you people just play nice?
Because from what I heard, that is kind of a debate tactic. Well, at least if you're going over your time, like when you go over your time, it is kind of a debate tactic that they're using. From what I hear, that Pence is a good debater, and obviously Kamala Harris was a prosecutor. So basically, they're used to their time presenting their case. I mean, it wasn't a bloodbath like it was with Trump and
no, because Mike Pence is a polished turd. Mike Pence did all the shitty shit that Donald Trump did, but he's polished, so he doesn't seem like he has a little fucking Midwestern charm when he's being a douche. Like, how about just let her fucking? You know what he doesn't understand is if you let her fucking talk, You might have something. You might get yourself a soundbite that you can actually run in a campaign ad. She might step in horse shit if you fucking let her talk. Same thing with Biden. If you know any of them, if you let them answer the question, guaranteed you they're going to step in shit and you can use it against them. But when you constantly interrupt, you look like an asshole.
You want to know? You know what? You want to know what's interesting in that debate was the whole thing. What the news really focuses on, and I think the news is slipping up. In regards to pre-existing conditions, Trump did say that whatever he does, pre-existing conditions will be met, and that won't be a problem. I heard Trump say.
Well, here, let me update you on that. Since I don't know if he signed an executive order. Executive orders are bullshit. They end when you're out of office. Whatever. Sign an executive order. There's no policy behind it. And here's the thing. In the Affordable Care Act, they got rid of the caps. So say you have a chronic disease and you have to keep on going to the doctor, lifetime disease. In the past, if you reached a certain cap, that was shit out of luck. They didn't have to cover it anymore. The ACA got rid of that, so you can have you'll be taken care of your whole life. Your insurance company has to keep on paying for it. Donald Trump has not addressed that, but he did sign an executive order, you know, for pre-existing conditions. Okay, go on.
Now, with that in mind, that's a very good outlook that you had. Very interesting, and very focused and very detailed on that. Okay, now Pence was asked about the pre-existing conditions. And he went off on the other subject and never mentioned it. All right? Kamala Harris was asked about padding the court?
Packing the court.
Thank you very much. Packing the court. And it's interesting to me, and believe me, I'm a right-wing Republican, where the sole focus with the news has been the question of packing the court, why Biden and Harris hasn't answered that. But they really didn't touch on the fact why Pence didn't answer the pre-existing condition question, which I find it interesting because both questions are, and like I said, you know where I stand in the aisle, but I find it interesting where even the media is focusing on packing the court, but not even addressing that it right there in that segment that Pence did not address.
Listen, both are important issues, but you got to understand they're doing hearings right now for the next justice. So that's, and Ruth Bader Ginsburg just died, so it's very pressing. Personally, listen, but Biden doesn't want to answer that. He's been on record as saying he's not in favor. Doesn't mean he won't do it. I would be like, yeah, you know. Well, first of all, I would say, this is what I would say if I was him. I go, how do you want me to answer a question? Well, in order for me to be able to answer that question, not only do I have to win, which has not happened yet, but the Democrats have to flip some seats in the Senate. I'm not answering hypotheticals. You know, if we win, if I win and the Democrats take the Senate, I'll answer that on day one. What my feelings are, meaning I could change, I could be persuaded either way, but I'll answer. That's how you answer. It's a hypothetical. I'm not there yet. I'm trying to beat number 45. That's what I'm trying to do. Senators and candidates are trying to win their races. That's what we're focused. That's what I would say. That being said, if it's me, I'm packing that motherfucking court. I'm putting 50 fucking judges on the court.
But still, I would say that we're in this debate and we're running this debate. Okay, Harris, and you answered the question in the back. Why didn't the moderator go to Pence and ask him why he didn't answer the question? You see, that's where they missed it. Why didn't he go back and answer? How come you didn't answer the pre-existing condition question?
I think that
I was saying to you that night, it was pretty much a draw in my book.
I think because of the rules of the debate, they're like limited on how long they could talk about each subject. So the audience, the public, gets a disservice. I don't know if the moderator could follow up, but obviously, listen, you'd like to hear follow up to both of that stuff. They let these moderators let him off the hooks. It's hard. It's hard when you're dealing with the president because you respect the office and everything. I get that. But, you know, we're getting into service, and we'll talk a little bit more about debating with the virtual debate coming
right
back.
But it was, you know, and just one more quick thing on the topic, and we'll move on. But like I said from the beginning, it's just interesting to me, especially from, like, the CNN and, you know, all the outlets there where, you know, everything is concentrated on packing the court. But I really haven't heard much brought up. Well, why didn't Pence answer the pre-existing condition question?
Well, he did say that they've been very good on it. They have a comprehensive, or maybe that was Chris Wallace who went up to Trump and said, you don't have a comprehensive plan. Listen, the fact of the matter is, When the Republicans tell you they have a comprehensive health care plan, they don't. They have no fucking plan. It's basically going to go back to status quo. An executive order doesn't do shit. The Republicans bitched about Obama when he did executive orders. Now they love him because Trump's doing. If Biden wins, they'll go back. That's what it's going to be. The reality is, if you don't like the Affordable Care Act, first of all, you have to have something else. Second of all, I don't advise doing this shit in the middle of a pandemic. Third of all, you need a transition period. We're going to take you off of this. You're not really going to notice an interruption because we're going to slide you on to this. There's no fucking plan. They haven't had a plan. They don't give a shit. And the only reason I can think about it is because of lobbyists. That's the only thing. Because the Affordable Care Act is popular. What they're doing with I shouldn't say it's popular. It's got about 65% approval rating, which nothing in this country does. You look at what the Senate's doing right now with the judge. You know, 70-75% of the people are like, no, you should be doing like COVID-19. You guys should be dealing bailouts. This is all political. It's all power grab, and it's why people get turned off. That's what they're doing. They're trying to turn people off. And in this case, the Democrats look like the good guys to most people. Now, if the Democrats take control, chances are they'll look like the assholes. But you know,
right. But like I said, just on the debate itself, I don't think it moves any. I don't think if you're in your camp, you're still in your camp, and if you're undecided, you're still undecided.
Yeah, no, that's like, not, like nobody shot that. Nobody was so egregious or was so amazing. Listen, I think a lot of Harris fans were disappointed because they've seen Harris during the Senate hearings, various Senate hearings, and they know she can go all Temple of Doom, Mola Ram, and like rip out your beating heart and make you look at it as you watch your heart. But I said to Joe, but when Joe and I were texting, I go, I think she was in don't fuck up the mode. I think the Biden campaign looks at it as like, we're way ahead. We don't want to create sound bites or any waves. Make your points. We don't need the big splash. Where if you're behind, you need the big splash. It's like if you're behind, you have to hit the 3-run homer. And if you're ahead, you're kind of playing a little bit more safe on the ball. I think that's what it was. Listen, Harris could have done a lot more. Mike Pence, you know, I told you, Joe, he's got a shitty hand. You know, Trump has never been popular. This COVID-19 mess has made him more unpopular. Healthcare, they don't have an answer, as we've discussed. What they're doing with the judge is unpopular with the majority of the people. It's good with the base, but that's not the majority of the people. Pence had a shitty hand, and I thought, you know, Mike Pence did what Mike Pence does. You know, I think Mike Pence did fine. You know, he didn't make anything any worse. If you already liked Pence and Trump, you liked what you heard from Mike Pence. You know, he didn't make it. You know, he did his job. He had the tougher job than Kamala Harris. And, you know, Mike Pence is very good at saying nothing, but doing it in that aw shucks way. That's what Mike Pence does.
Well, you know, basically, some pundits would say, well, Pence, you know, people, you know, on either side, well, Pence won, Harris won. I think it was a draw, and I think they both did a good job, though, singing the company song, you know.
Yeah, they were fine. I told you, I think the fly won. I don't...
Tammy said that they were definitely too focused on the fly to get anything else done.
Oh, well, listen, I'm glad we could focus on something. No, I don't think anybody won. I think they both did what they had to do. Nobody remembers these vice presidential debates. I told you guys last week what Tim Kaine said, who was Hillary Clinton's vice presidential candidate. And he debated Mike Pence last year. He's like, basically the job of these vice president debates is you're defending your candidate. You're like a, quote, goalie. And that's what they did.
Yeah. Now, like I said, they're up there singing the company. So the best vice presidential debate was when Ross Perot was running, and he had his VP, I think it was Admiral Stockton, and this poor guy, Perot jacks him out of obscurity. Now he's on the national TV, and he's like, what the hell am I doing here? It was like a deer in the head. This guy was a respected admiral, you know. I felt bad for the guy. It was hysterical, though.
Listen, Harris and Pence are both polished politicians. You know, you're going to have to really work to get them rattled or get them fucked up. They were fine. Well, you know, Donald Trump then goes on, he hurts himself. The next day he goes on Fox Business and he calls her a monster and a communist. There was nothing in that debate that made you think communist or monster. She's doing her job, just like Mike Pence did his job. If you liked Mike Pence before, you like Mike Pence still. If you hate Mike Pence, you still hate Mike Pence. Mike Pence did nothing in that debate to make you hate Mike Pence or Donald Trump more. He did what Mike Pence does. does what he's been doing for 4 years.
Again, they were both in the same account. I mean, they both went up and they sang the company song.
But you see it with these partisans, like on social media, quote our friends. They're just like Solo. Oh, I can't believe her. Blah blah blah. I can't believe him. Blah blah. It's like, what did you expect? They just want to. They can't look at this shit objectively. They can't look at it like, oh, she's a twat. What did she do? She said, I'm speaking, Mr. Vice President, I'm speaking, because she kept on getting interrupted. Would you rather he said, motherfucker, please? Would that have made you happy? I mean, she's trying to talk, and maybe Joe and I are in the unique position of being able to understand that, not because we're women. I know men do it to women. I do it to Pip. I do it to Joe, too, but I do it to Pip. Because Joe and I have been in that position where we have the microphone and we're trying to convey something. Not policy. We're trying to convey something.
Tuesday nights we do.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, somebody's constantly interrupting you and ruining your train of thought. That's why we are probably a little bit more sympathetic to the interrupting, but it's just disrespectful. It's not presidential or vice presidential. Let them fucking speak. Let Trump speak. Let Biden speak. Let Harris speak. Let Ben speak. Well, we don't need the interruptions. It's just not good.
And the funny thing is, you can't you know, you're a politician, and that's what, you can't launch into the person like the drunk lady at table 5. Or the fucking bachelorette party.
Yeah, you can't go to the waitress and go, excuse me, can you get the table in the front of a glass or shut the fuck up? You can't do that.
Right. Or if you work at a governor's, can I get a glass of water, please?
Vice President Pence, where'd you learn to whisper? In a helicopter? You can't do that.
As a woman, statistically, women are spoken over by men all the time. It happens at work. It happens, in comedy. But here we are, three people fighting on Zoom for, to be able to be heard. But I mean, in person, it happens all the time. And so it really resonated with women that when they were like, "Shut up!"
You know, I posted that on Facebook. Like, this is not doing him any favors with women. That's right, because women are used to it. And then somebody, a friend, ex, whatever the fuck you want to call, is like, I don't understand why this has to be a gender thing. Nobody likes to be interrupted. I understand that, but men traditionally talk over women, and you're losing in the political way. They're saying that the Trump campaign has lost a lot of female voters that voted for them last time. So this does them no favors. Yeah, I mean, if you're trying to get these women back, shut the fuck up. Let her talk. Hoist her by her own petard. If she says something that you disagree with, that you think people might vote for you would not like, then you call that to the attention. But let her fucking talk. It's fucking rude. It's just where we are. I mean, we do a better job, and I'm fucking rude as shit, but we do a better job on this show. It's like, just let fucking people talk. What is the problem?
Look, when we first started doing this show, which, Jesus Christ, it's going to be almost 10 years in May, I think.
And
we had a very big problem of talking over each other, yelling, not, you would start a story, I would interrupt, blah, blah, blah. So, it's and basically that's doing this show for over 9 years every Tuesday. If this was a one-off, and we were going politics, maybe we'd be doing the same. Maybe we'd be doing the same thing. I don't know. I mean, it's just that.
Yeah, but they're trained.
The decorum that we've had over the years.
We don't have a team of people teaching us fucking technique and working with us. This, like you said, it was a strategy. You think it was a strategy. It's a shitty strategy. The only people you're appealing to are the people who already liked you. And if you're trailing, where if you believe the polls and the fundraising and a lot of the actions that are going on, they probably are behind. You want to make yourself more appealing, more ingratiating. I just don't understand it. I don't know what the fuck is going on.
You know what, though? I caught the last 30 minutes of the debate. I caught it on the radio home from rehearsal. So I wasn't watching. I got home and I saw the last 5 minutes. But no matter what, Harris comes off smug to me sometimes.
Well, you know what, Joe? I'm gonna say what you always tell me about Trump. You're not voting for him to be a honey bunch. You're voting for them to get the job done. So the same thing with Kamala Harris. You know, maybe she's smug, maybe she's not. People seem to think she's really sweet who know her. I don't fucking give a shit. We're voting for her to get the job done. So, yeah, she doesn't have to be like, and I've said for years, this whole, I want to have a beer with them. No, I don't want to fucking have a beer with any of these motherfuckers. I want them to be too busy to have a beer with me. I want them to be working so hard for our country where they can't have a beer with stupid. That's what I fucking want. I don't want them having a beer with me. You know when they can have a beer with me? When they're fucking out of office. Then they can have a beer with me. When they're in, unless they're inviting me in to talk about policy, and it's not a fucking bad idea. Unless they're inviting me to talk about policy, there's no reason. Because you know what? I'm not on a championship team. I'm not going to win the World Series, the Super Bowl, or the college football or basketball championship. There's no reason to call me in. So I don't give a shit if they're a douchebag or not.
Yeah, no, it's like, yeah, I don't, yeah, I don't want to have a beer. I'd like to have a beer with you. I don't, you don't want to have a beer with me. You're full of shit. You know? You're full of shit. You know, I'm going for a drink. It's like after you and I do a show. Let's go have a cocktail, talk about the gig, whatever, or if we have a show meeting, we hang out, we'll have dinner and drink, you know, we'll talk stuff. I don't want a politician to come have a beer with me. Just cut my fucking taxes and leave me alone.
Right.
You know, fuck you in your beard, you know?
Yeah, right. You want them, whatever you feel is in your best interest, you want them to do that job. You don't need to fucking hang out. So that's why we say, she's unlikable. I don't give a shit. That was like one of the things that they were using to attack her. I'm not trying to date her. I'm not trying to take her to fucking prom. I don't give a shit. I was telling Pip before the show, I don't know if Joe, you were on the line yet, but I get the text from Kamala Harris, you know, always asking for money like a goddamn scammer. And it's always like, hey, you, like we're fucking dating. Stop it. Stop it. I don't need you going, hey, you, are we going to fucking meet after the Davins then tonight? Am I going to meet you on the campaign trail? Are you going to sneak out of the Radisson and we're going to meet up for a tryst in the Motel 6? No, we're not. We're not going to do that. So don't text me, hey, you. Just ask me for the goddamn fucking money. It doesn't work when you're from Africa and it doesn't work when you're from California.
Like she's Belinda. And I think Belinda was more sincere.
Yes! Every day, hey you, did you see Joe tonight? How could I fucking miss him? He was lost. He was looking for his car keys and they were in his hand. We all fucking saw Joe tonight. What's the point? That's another thing. I posted on Facebook. Hillary's fucking emails. They're going to release them. Is Hillary? I'll tell you one thing right now, Joe. I promise you, I will not vote for Hillary in this election. Who the fuck cares about Hillary's emails? I want to see Donald and Joe's post-it notes because those two motherfuckers are crazy and insane and can't remember shit. Joe doesn't remember what the fuck he's running for. Donald is talking about little fish in California the sound of windmills causing cancer and army fucking belts. I want to read the shit that they write down that they're supposed to try to fucking talk about. That's the shit I want to read. I don't give a shit about Hillary's emails like, oh, Huma, can you believe who Anthony got caught fucking this week? I don't give a shit about the emails.
Well, that's another bit we're sharing this week.
No, that one was on my Facebook page. You can't have that one, motherfucker. But
all right, that's yours.
But I mean,
so it's a workshop. We got a lot done tonight.
We did, but I mean, really, the insanity of it. Hillary's emails. Who the fuck cares? Unless Grandma's coming out of the woods and elbowing Joe off the stage, I don't give a shit.
I don't understand the logic behind that either. But it's still, and all based on the diatribe you just yelled out. Yeah, I don't give a shit. Who cares?
Can we get these two fucking 70-year-old motherfuckers to remember what the hell they're talking about? We got Donald Trump making goddamn videos like I do to promote the goddamn show standing in front of his house. Yeah, we gave the Army new uniforms. They were very happy with the uniforms. They wanted belts. We gave them belts. Army uniforms. Are you fucking kidding me, you COVID-infested motherfucker? Is this what you're wasting our time with?
We have some transcripts from Martin Van Buren.
I don't understand. Thank God there's nothing going on in the country and there's no problems and everything's taken care of. Thank God there's nothing to worry about. That we got two guys that can't remember who the fuck they are. Seriously. If they have a debate again in person, the moderator could go, all right, guys, close your eyes. We're going to play peekaboo. And they're going to go, where am I? That's where we are. That's what's running the country. Either way, we're fucked.
Do you know who's bringing? Do you know who's going to read out the Hillary allegations?
Who?
And the tape? The Fly.
Oh, well, now I'm interested. now you have the one way I'm intrigued. Buzz.
Thank you very much.
Buzz. Putin. Buzz. Barack. Buzz.
And here's the Fly. And the Fly have his own show. Maybe, you know, he's probably got an agent, as we both know, you know, and CNN or whatever. And it's like, we're going to call it The Buzz.
The Buzz. There you go. And it'll be featured on BuzzFeed. Huddle-a-huddle-a-hoo.
And who's going to, and do we have any sponsors? Yeah, shit that didn't sponsor.
Sponsored by Schitt's Creek.
Sponsored by Schitt's Creek. Yeah, Schitt's Creek.
That's hilarious.
I don't understand it. Like, I didn't see the video of Biden, like, saying a couple times he was running for senator, but I don't need to because I'm not surprised. It's like when Donald Trump's, the good thing about Donald Trump is it gets more ridiculous. Like, he's on Hannity. And he's talking about, oh, you know, California, they're drought. That's because they're sending all this water to the ocean. There's these little fishes that need more water, and I guess they're not doing well. So California's sending all the water into the ocean. Are you fucking kidding me, you COVID-infested brain? Is this what you're talking about? And the fact that your base has the fucking audacity to go, yeah, but Joe Biden, no, motherfucker, your guy's insane too. What you need to realize is we're all fucked. It doesn't matter. We are so fucked. In 2016, there was better candidates, and in 2015, and in 2019, there was better candidates, but you picked a goddamn game show host and a guy who can't find his goddamn keys, and it's like Joe goes clapper, and he thinks he's getting applause. That's where we are with this. That's who's running the country. No, oh, Kamala's gonna run the country. I hope so. Please, let it be. These two, I can't take it anymore. And, like, I'm not gonna be one of these people, oh, you're gonna stick up for Joe Biden? No, he, you know what? He's a junk ball pitcher. He used to throw 98 miles per hour, and now he throws 85 miles per hour and a slurve, a slow breaking curveball. But you know what? He's playing up against the guy that hit one fucking home run that went 550 feet, and he's living off of it. This is what we have. This is what we got: a one hit goddamn wonder and a guy who can't pitch anymore. He's 20 years past his prime, and this is our World Series. We are so fucked.
Oh my God! Wow, that was without a breath.
Well, what else do I got to do? It's pent up. Yankee season's over.
I'll say. Oh my God! Do you feel better?
No, I don't feel better. But these partisan people on social media. Oh, our guy is so amazing. No, he's not. The difference between the Dems guy and the Republicans guy is the Dem guy is fucking likable. That's what he, and he seems empathetic. He's not an asshole. That's basically where we are at this point. Do you want an old guy who's an asshole or an old guy who's not an asshole? That's really what the next debate should be. That, why are you an asshole? Why aren't you an asshole? That should be the focus group.
Do you think there's more excitement, you know, behind Trump than there is but Biden?
No. No, I don't. I don't.
Why is that?
Because I'm seeing, because I'm turning on the news, I'm seeing these fucking people waiting 8 hours to vote. And I know what happened in 2018 with the blue wave. And I know Donald Trump is way behind in fundraising. And I know he's having to go to states like Iowa that he never dreamed he'd have to go to this year. No, I think what it is the blue is in rage. Now that doesn't mean anything. Listen, if Donald Trump wins, say the polls stay where they are, right where they are, and we all know what the polls are. If Donald Trump wins this year, then and nothing's changed, if the polls are right now where they are on election day, then just throw out the fucking polls. Then just stop with it anymore. Because if you're like trailing by 10 nationally and 6 to 8 in like all these battleground states, and on election day it's still that margin, and it's fucking wrong, then just stop with it. You know, but in 2016... it was Donald Trump got to within the margin of error by the time Election Day happened. There wasn't as many people voting before Election Day as we have now, not by a long shot. So it was in the margin of error, and Donald Trump won the Electoral College by 77,000 people over three states. Okay, you know. And now, do I think people were more excited for Donald Trump than Hillary Clinton? Yes. I think people were more excited for Donald Trump. But the argument, oh, well, she couldn't draw a crowd. Who the fuck cares? She had 3 million more voters. It doesn't matter about that. But I think people were genuinely excited for Donald Trump. Now, I think Donald Trump's hardcore supporters are probably more passionate than a Joe Biden supporter. But I don't But I don't think that's a big enough number to win. Listen, if you're going to fucking... What?
Will that be very significant?
You think, well, you cut out. I wasn't me. I swear to God, I didn't mute you. It just
I think it's going to... I just see an excitement over Trump that I don't see over Biden, and I see a lot more rallies. And I think that the silent majority is going to speak.
Yeah, but Joe, you keep saying it's never been. Listen, if you're having a fucking parade, it's not silent. Nobody ever had a quiet parade, and it's not the majority. I mean, could he win? Sure, of course he could win. But from what I'm seeing now, you got to remember when he did win, he did very well with fundraising. Too. That was a big thing. They did very well. They're not doing well with fundraising. He's had to go dark in a lot of states with ads and everything. Now, that could change.
Maybe people don't have the money with the COVID, you know?
Listen, man, he's got big backers.
You know, it's hard economic times lately, you know?
Yeah, but the Trump supporter doesn't think we're in hard economic times. The Trump supporter thinks everything's great. A lot of them. What virus? Now you will at least recognize a virus, but a lot of them don't. Listen, I think these debates are just for, not debates, I think these rallies that he holds are for Trump's self-esteem at this point.
Yeah.
I think he needs that. I think he needs to feel love. That's part of his narcissism. Because honestly, performing, and that's what it is, for the thousands of people that were going to vote for you, that's not doing him any favors. He's got to go to these states where he's behind or where he's ahead by a little or where it's close. And he's gotta be, you know, trying to win those people over. You don't need to win the people over who have a Trump boat parade. They were gonna vote for you anyway. You know, you need to win the people over. You need to go to the suburbs. You need to go to the suburbs of Philadelphia, the people who voted for you last time and who are leaning Biden right now, and you have to make your case. And I don't think you have to do it with a big rally. A rally's not, if I was him, and he's not good at this. He's really not good at this. But if I was him, I'd be doing more town halls. And I don't think they have to be televised, but that's what I would be doing. He's not good at it. We've seen it, but that's what I would be doing if I was him. But he's not going to. He doesn't listen to anybody. He doesn't listen to his own political aides, which drives him insane. Oh, what's that, Chris Christie? You want to hear? Help me debate? Here's some COVID-19. Don't wear a mask, fat boy. Enjoy your week at the fucking hospital. I mean, listen.
That's right.
Listen,
I don't think a town hall would be his forte.
It's not his forte, but that's how. But you know what? But Joe, I mean, listen. If we perform in front of the people who love us the most, we're not really growing our fan base, you know. And that's what he has to do right now. If you're behind, and all indications are, you got to grow it back. And do I think people? I don't think people are necessarily passionate about Biden. I think they're passionate about not Trump. And I think that,
yes. And
I think last time you had a lot of people that weren't necessarily passionate about Donald Trump. You had some, but you also had a lot of people that were passionate about not Hillary. I think we're going to have back-to-back elections where it's like, I just don't like the other one. I think that's where we're with Obama and Romney and Obama and McCain. I mean, listen, there were some who were turned off to, you know, McCain and some who were turned off to Obama, but it wasn't this visceral, guttural feeling where you hated them or hated Romney. No, I don't like his politics. I like this one better. You know, this, that, the other thing. I don't think people hate Biden. People hate Hillary and people hate Donald Trump. So I think that's what's driving the vote. I really think that's what people hated Hillary, and we're not going to talk about whether it was justified or not justified and why that was and what she could have done to be better, this, that, the other. It's fucking irrelevant. I don't think anybody really hates Joe Biden. It's fun to make fun of Joe Biden, I guess. But I don't think anybody like Joe Biden's just not a hateable fucking person. He's been one of these people, whether you agree with his politics or not, he's been a likable guy. He's tried to get things done. He's tried to work with both sides of the aisle. You know, he's a generic Democrat. That's what he is. Biden is a generic Democrat in the same way Romney was a generic Republican. That's really what they were.
I think that, and we've discussed this before, but just my two cents. I don't think Biden's a strong leader, and I think he's going to be led by the far-left contingent, especially with Kamala Harris. And I think a lot of far-left policies are going to get through, and it's kind of scary if that would happen.
Yeah, but they say that every time, man. They said that against Obama. They called Obama a Marxist. And Obama was a center-left fucking moderate. That's what he was, and it pissed off the fucking liberals. That's what it's always – it's the same. Like I told you, I don't want to get into this all again. They plan to be running against Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders. That was the plan. They got Joe Biden. And the thing is, it's not working. Nobody – I mean, yes, the Trump supporters, they're believing these talking points. But the average person isn't buying Biden as this big fucking scary guy. He's been in the he's been in the public eye. We've seen him for years. He just doesn't have that scary vibe. You know, you could they make Hillary into a cartoon with Killary, and Benghazi was very convenient. You know, they had all those hearings and everything. And, you know, we had 8 years of Obama, you know, so people are already like, it's time to get rid of a Democrat. You had a lot of factors in with that. You know, we've had 4 years of this, and we're racked with COVID, and we're out of work right now. It's, you know.
Yeah. It just seems very scary. You know, Nancy Pelosi, I hate with a passion, but.
Well, you're supposed to. That's what Hannity tells you.
Nancy Pelosi is a.
Wait, what?
You can't stand it, but she keeps shitting line, you know, with the far left, you know? I don't...
She's not a... Nancy Pelosi's not a...
line.
But by the way, I know Joe's cutting out. I am not touching his audio, by the way.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, I just don't want your fans to think, oh, Davin's fucking cutting his audio. I'm not touching it. My hands are over
oh,
here.
Oh, no. Nobody thinks that. That's ridiculous. No.
Listen, Nancy Pelosi's a good politician. That's what Nancy Pelosi is. You know, you can hate her or love her. You know, she's not far left. She's kind of like Boehner. You know, John Boehner. She just wants to get shit done. And you know, like you said, she's got to keep everybody along. John Boehner finally left because, you know, he's like, all right, these Tea Party people, I can't get shit done. A good politician, and my hope for Donald Trump when he came into office, was wanting to get shit done. Do things to advance the country that, you know, most people can kind of see the good in it, whether you like how they got there or not. You go, okay, this is good for the country. I'm not thrilled with it. We're moving forward. That's what a good politician does. But now you have all these purity tests. You know, if you're not right enough, if you're not left enough, they primary you. It's bullshit. But it's bullshit. And what happened is you had Biden shoot through the fucking middle on the left. That's what it is. He's a moderate guy. He's not Bernie Sanders. You know, I don't think Bernie Sanders was going to turn us into a socialist state either. But at least then you go, all right, well, there's a far-left Democrat. But, nah, I think it'll be fine. He's not coming to take your guns. Joe Biden's not going to take your guns. You're not going to have... Donald Trump said, Joe Biden wants you... Is in favor of having an abortion. Joe Biden was in favor of having an abortion after the baby was born. No, that's not an abortion, dumb motherfucker. That's murder. Nobody's in favor of murder. Nobody's like, oh, a baby. Strangle it. We're not doing that. I mean, and but people parrot that. He says these things, and people believe it. People believe anything because people are stupid. That's why I vote for the fly. I have more faith in the fly than I do in people.
He could say about late term, like, you know, he's there for late term abortions, which you think is wrong after the baby is born. Yeah.
He's in that baby was shaving, and he aborted it. What? How is that possible? I mean,
really?
But you know what? They know people are stupid. They know, you know, if you're so enthralled with any politician like it's your boyfriend or girlfriend, you're going to believe whatever. Biden's a fucking moderate guy. He's going to piss off the liberals. I'm telling you, Joe. He's going to piss off the liberals. Now, of course, he's going to piss off the conservatives. But
he's already pissed off the liberals. They're already, you know, I mean, you know, like I said, you know, this is what they got to offer. So much the Trump hatred and trying every trick in the book for 4 years to derail Trump, and this is what they come up with, the most legitimate way to get him out of office, and this is what they come up with.
Well, you got to remember, though, Joe, Donald Trump looked at Joe Biden as a threat. He was willing to get impeached over it. There was one candidate he was talking to other countries to get dirt on. It was Joe Biden. Donald Trump... Because Joe Biden appeals to a lot of the people who voted Donald Trump, and Joe Biden appeals to white, blue-collar people, and Donald Trump got a lot of those people last time. You know, listen, Bernie Sanders might have gotten some of those white, blue-collar people. Was Elizabeth Warren, even though she fights for them? No, probably not. But, you know, Joe Biden, they know Joe Biden. You know, he's Amtrak Joe and everything. They know Donald Trump knew that this is a tough competitor. Would he have been a tougher competitor 4 years ago? Absolutely. I'm not going to tell you Joe Biden is as quick as he used to be, but he doesn't have to be, because Donald Trump is a real living cartoon, and Joe Biden is also a real living cartoon, but he's not the villain. So, you know, that's what it is. That's where we are. That's where we are. And if you're going to – we are so fucked. And oh, people go, oh, we're not getting the politicians we deserve. No, we are. We are getting exactly what we deserve, because we'd rather watch reality TV. We don't want to fucking vote. We don't want to pay attention. We all want to be on social media and do cinnamon challenges and Tide Pod challenges. We're getting exactly what we fucking deserve. You know, maybe Donald Trump and Joe Biden are too good for us. I throw that in front of you. Maybe they are too good for the American people. We're getting exactly.
So also, politicians that would do the right job, be the right. You don't even want to be bothered in politics. You know, who in their right mind would want to run for president?
That's a miserable job. Well, I mean, listen, yeah. I could see why.
Who can?
Listen, if you you have this innate desire to do good, or this innate desire for power. It's one of those two. You really have to.
I don't want to be. I don't even want to wake up in the middle of the night to take a piss, yet to worry about the Middle East. You know.
Really?
I don't know how those things tie together, but I will tell you, nobody's asking you to be in charge of the Middle East, and nobody's going to help you take a piss. So one of those things you're going to have to work out on your own. Maybe wear a diaper, Joe. Maybe that's what you need to do.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Noted, writing it down.
I don't know. Again, fly 2020. Fly at least the fly knows what the hell he's running for. Insect. Fucking guys, driving. They got me all upset. Oh, now we're going to take a break. And the next thing we're going to talk. We did so much fucking politics. Now we're going to talk about this fucked up virtual debate. We'll talk about it. Pip with her fucking fly thing. She's so happy. That's the next thing.
It's a good lead-in. It's a good lead-in.
That's the next thing they're going to remove from Pip, that fly.
What we should do is do the story about the virtual debate and then take the break. That's where we're coming back with a clean topic.
You want to do that? I can do that.
Yeah,
why not?
Segs right into it. I mean, why take a break and then go right back into the topic? We're right
something so similar, yeah.
All right. So basically, what happened was this week Biden and Trump were supposed to have a debate. Trump got the COVID, the COVID-19. It was supposed to be a town hall debate. So not only would it be the two of them and the moderator, but there was going to be an audience there interacting. So at the time where the debate commission. The Commission on Presidential Debates made the decision. They're like, listen, we don't want all these people inside. Let's do a virtual debate, which is what we do every fucking week here. Let's do a virtual debate. And it's true. And Donald Trump said, no, I don't want to have a virtual debate. And he actually called it a waste of time. And then and Biden's like, all right, well, I'll just hold a fucking town hall on this day. And then Trump's like, well, how about we move it back a week? And Biden's like, yeah, I'm busy. Can't do it this week. And then Trump's like, well, I got the negative test, which nobody's seen, from the doctor who I'm the boss of. How about we do it this week? And Biden's like, nah, I'm already busy. that's basically what happened. First of all, I think calling it a virtual debate a waste of time is insulting. And the reason I say it's insulting, for a couple of reasons. First of all, anytime you're in front of your constituents, it should not be looked at as a waste of time. It is our fucking time. If we're tuning in, it's because we think this is valuable to us, and you are there to serve us. Second of all, a lot of us are working from home right now because of COVID-19. So this is how we do our work virtually. Third of all, a lot of us, our kids are getting educated in virtual classrooms. None of us consider it a waste of time. I think again, it shows Donald Trump as out of touch. Now, I think the reasons why he did not want to do the debate is I think he likes the physicality of a debate, which is really weird, but he's a big dude and everything. I think he likes standing there. I think he was afraid that he was going to get interrupted or cut off, because on this, you could just mute the fucking thing, and I don't think Donald Trump...
I know!
I don't think he wants that, but I think Donald Trump made a mistake, because as we just discussed... If you are going to believe the polls, and the indications are, by the way, they're trying to suppress the vote in Texas, there's millions of people in a county, and they're like, no, not one drop box for the fucking county, so people have to drive 50 miles for a drop box vote.
It makes 1,500?
No, 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 50 miles.
Yeah, no, no. Some of the counties are 1,500 miles wide.
I don't think anybody has. Well, I don't know. But anyway, I think if you're behind, and let's all agree that he is, for now, doesn't mean he will be in 3 weeks, for the purpose of this conversation. I think if you're behind, you need to get in front of the people as much as possible, because most people are not tuning into Hannity or Fox and Friends, where Donald Trump does some of his best work. Most people are not tuning into the rallies, but they're tuning into debates. The debates did very well. I think it was a mistake, but then again, maybe he knows he can't behave. But that's my thoughts. You guys comment away.
I think it would be a clusterfuck.
Well, that was the first one, Joe.
I think just with both candidates in a virtual town hall debate, it just has clusterfuck written all over it.
Is this thing on? I can't hear you. Where am I? Where are you? Get the fax machine. I think we're supposed to talk in the fax machine.
Oh, you're going to have the moderator. You're going to have Biden. You're going to have Trump. You're going to have the person asking the question. Meanwhile, Ann B. Davis from the Brady Bunch is going to come up and go down. It just seems that it was, you know, based, and I'm basing it on the last debate. I think it was just going to be an absolute clusterfuck.
Well, then Joe, by your, and I'm not disagreeing with you, but I would argue we don't even need a third fucking debate. Which will now be the second debate. We don't need to see these two anymore. Once was enough. Do we need another debate for these two?
I don't think so.
I would do one more live, do it in a couple of weeks.
Joe, what do you think about Donald Trump calling it a waste of his time?
Social distancing, you know, and he can have it that way. But a virtual debate, I mean, look, we talk over each other sometimes doing this show. Could you imagine what that's going to be like? I turn it off. I put the Flintstones on.
They did that in purpose. But Joe, what about him calling it a waste of his time?
Because I think it would be a waste of his time. Because I think he knows in that situation it'd be a clusterfuck. And I'm just being a devil's advocate. I mean, you know, he's willing to have another debate, you know, another live debate. But I think in the virtual atmosphere, I think it's a waste of time. I think it's going to be a clusterfuck.
Pip, what do you think?
I think that unless somebody was going to be able to hold their feet to the fire and make them actually answer the questions as asked, it's a waste of time.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't need to see these guys anymore. I really, but I understand I've been paying a lot more attention than most people. But if they're not going to follow the rules, which both campaigns agreed to, and these moderators aren't going to hold their feet to the fire, or they're not going to do the Joe Rogan one that we discussed, which would be entertaining at least, what's the point?
Look, referees in the WWE have more control over a situation than these moderators had, you know?
that's something else we could do. We could give them each a steel chair, and somebody could run in when the ref's not looking, when the moderator's not looking, and get behind them and do the low bridge where they give them the arm to the fucking testicles. That's what we could do. Like Kamala sneaks in, like Joe distracts whoever, Chris Wallace, and Kamala sneaks, runs in from behind the stage, and Donald Trump's talking, and boom, right in the fucking balls. This is for grabbing him in the pussy. Boom. You come back, Donald Trump's eyes are crossed. Now we're talking. I like it. A WWE-style debate, Joe. I like this.
Guess what people are going to hear at a workshop and on a Saturday night show. this is the best workshop ever.
Sure. I mean, I don't...
Earlier, I didn't understand the reference, but Tom was saying that if they step out of line, I don't remember which one it was, but I think he said that he was going to... if Rogan was running the debate, that he would have Biden pull a baby bird on Trump or vice versa. I didn't know what that meant.
What does that mean? I don't know what that means.
Apparently,
when you throw up into somebody or somebody, you put something in somebody else's mouth, you have something in your mouth and you put it back into somebody else's mouth.
I don't know if you can do that with social distancing.
No. No, it was the opposite of social distancing. This is really sharing fluids.
It's vomit worthy.
Oh my gosh. Terrible.
Did you hear Donald Trump last night? And then we really have to take a break. Donald Trump's doing his fucking campaign. He's happy to be there. I feel great. I could go out in the audience and I could kiss the men and kiss the women. This is what gets you in trouble. Nobody. At least now you're telling us before you're going to do it. But what is wrong with you?
He's being a ham. Are you going to sit there and take that seriously?
No!
My God, I can't believe he's going to... This is stupid.
No, I'm not taking it seriously. I wasn't taking it seriously, but it's like, are you fucking insane? The evangelicals are not going to like you kissing men, dude. Keep that quiet.
Well, Lisa suggested that we should have the mud wrestle with Jell-O and whipped cream, and she's getting me hungry.
I'll tell you what. We'll do that with Kamala and Melania. Because nobody wants, because if Donald Trump and Joe Biden are wrestling, then they're covered in mud in diapers, and nobody wants to see that.
Oh, you and I, dude!
You and I should call the campaigns tomorrow and go, all right, look, we got an idea.
I can't, this can't be over soon enough. It's just, we're, for, whatever. All right, I'm not going to go into another fucking rant. I'm not going to do it. It is what it is. I feel like, if nothing else, we've mined some comedy gold from this.
Oh yeah. We filled our fucking wagons with gold.
And honestly, I will tell. I would say this: if anybody feels good, like really, really good about your candidate, you're not really fucking paying attention. This is not Obama McCain, Obama Romney, George H.W. Bush, and Bill Clinton. This is not that. We're not dealing with that right now. We are dealing with something. We're dealing, you know, with what happens when somebody got the last green Jell-O at the senior home. That's what we're fucking dealing with.
Yes. Too true.
Oh yeah, it's a goddamn circus. Yeah, I know.
That's what I'm saying. Like these people. Oh, with their Trump flags. Really? Are you really paying attention? I don't think you. Did you hear his expose on Hannity about little fish? Is that what made you get in the fucking car and have a fucking parade? Really? You feel that good about Biden Harris? He doesn't remember multiple times what fucking office he's running for? Really? Do you feel that good? I mean, just come on. I mean, pay a fucking attention. I understand people voted for Trump. Russ did it for the entertainment value. Okay. Playtime's over. It's been a hilarious 4 years. Give me a boring, competent president. They could be a Republican. They could be a Democrat. I don't give a shit. Give me somebody who's fucking competent and is somewhat honest. So, and knows where they are and doesn't feel the need to call their favorite news station 20 times a goddamn week. Don't you have shit to do? Won't Melania talk to you no more? Why do you gotta tell Fox and Friends and Fox Business then call Hannity and maybe check in with Tucker? Don't you have anything you can be doing? Isn't there something that needs your attention?
Is there some place you need to be?
He's so lonely. He's like your grandpa. He's lonely. He just wants to come over. Why don't you come over and talk? He's like every Jewish bubby you don't call anymore. So I'm going to call you. That's what
Yes. Except, oh, my God.
Except he's angry. And you hear what they're doing with the soup? I heard there's not even matzah in the matzo ball soup. That's what Biden's going to do. He's going to outlaw matzah for the matzo ball soup. Do you believe that, Sean? That's where we are with this shit. It's just fucking insane grievances. And people are going, you know what? I heard Biden is going to take away the matzah from the matzo ball soup. And I heard the pea soup's not going to have peas anymore. It's going to have piss. It's going to be piss soup. That's what Biden's going to do. That's where we are.
And on the other end, could you imagine they're calling this tomato sauce that's from the bottle? He didn't use Pope tomatoes. He didn't simmer it. Yeah. Yeah. Both sides of the Italian aisle and the Jewish aisle, too, yeah.
Don't you have something? Don't you need a nap?
It's not from Brooklyn. Yeah, so yeah, we get it.
They say Trump's got a lot of energy. Yes, to make fucking phone calls. It's funny to watch him. He'll call in on these Fox shows. And eventually you just see the host's eyes glaze over because they know he's just, because it's like when you get your grandparent or your parent on the phone and they won't let you off the phone. It's like, all right, yeah, I should be going. And 20 minutes later, no, I got to pick up the kid. And then 15 minutes after that, yeah, there's something on the stove. They can't get the fuck off the phone because he's depressed.
Well, if you don't want to talk to me, that's fine, you know. I do want to talk to you, Donald. Talk about how great I am. Wasn't that a great, Deborah? I know. Look, I have to pick up the kid. Well, if you have to go, I might not be here, but when you get back, so.
Oh, God.
Fine. Say goodbye.
You know, the full guilt.
I could be dead. You don't care. I had the COVID. Could die. Anyway, no, go along with your commercial break. It's fine. That's where we are. That's where I don't want my president having 45 minutes to shoot the shit several times a week.
What's that in the eye, Jan? That's fucking funny.
Yeah.
Hey, North Korea is marching out a new ballistic missile. Let me see what Steve Ducey's having for lunch. Are you fucking insane?
45 minutes to shoot this shit. Do you have a fucking gun for you to run?
Really?
I got people for that. I mean, seriously, at some point, doesn't somebody tap him on the shoulder and go, listen, you really should pretend you're a president now. You should do it. Can't you look busy? We've all had jobs where we have to do busy work. He doesn't even do the busy work well. That's why I got fucking fired. I am lousy at the busy work. I'm downloading porn instead of fucking pretending I'm typing in a document. That's why I got fired. If Donald Trump was in an office, he'd get fired. He doesn't even know how to look busy. So yeah, I'm just sitting here. No. It's 3 hours till lunch, just twirling my hair. Yeah, I'm gonna have a snack and go to the vending machine. Yeah, there's a new secretary. That's what Donald Trump is doing all day. He's as bad at his job as I was when I was working for the man. I could not work for the man because I thought I had all the fucking answers, like Donald does, and I couldn't look busy. I'm as qualified to run for president and work in his office. Donald Trump and I have the same goddamn resume and skill set. Except I don't want to talk on the phone. That's the only difference. I don't want to talk on the... I'll text with Steve Ducey for 45 minutes.
Funny.
All right. I'm all fucking riled up now. I feel the Rona coming on. All right. We're going to take our first break eventually right now. On the break, we got new music by Fly... The Next. Fly the Next. That's the name of the band. Had nothing to do. Fly the Next with Be Mine. Fly the Next with Be Mine. And a Dream Aria with Fairy Dust. And you can learn more about Dream Aria at deucemusic.com. And of course, Google Fly the Next and you'll find all their social media. So
they
check that.
Fly gets a record deal.
Yeah,
right.
Everybody gets a record deal. When we come back,
perfect timing.
A professor repeatedly drops the N-word and he don't have a job no more. We'll talk about that and other things.